Okay, let's pray, our Father.
Thank you for a time like this.
Heart and our minds are receptive to your word. We receive your word today with gladness of heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, as we look through your word, we see Christ and Him, and He alone we see. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ is unveiled to our minds, and we see ourselves just as He sees us in Him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and go glorified. And we're blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, today is the third week. So, 3 weeks ago, we started off on the teaching, giving and receiving, right? Okay. Giving and receiving. I want to get going straight up. Matthew 28. Giving and receiving, right? I would say it's with three. Giving and receiving. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It is good, therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So,
when Jesus says, "Go make disciples,"
when he says, "Go make disciples," we've looked at this in one of our CRCs last year. We say that explains what the authority is for. Hallelujah. The authority says, "All authority has been given to me." That authority is to go make disciples. Hallelujah. To go make disciples. So, we have the authority, and we're saying that the authority is in the believer, right? The authority is in the believers. So when it says, "Go make disciples," and when it says authority has been to me in heaven and on earth, so that authority that we've received is the authority to raise men. That word "make disciples" is the word matichio, which is to train apprentices, to raise scholars. Hallelujah. To enroll one into a citadel of learning. Hallelujah. Something to also note in that we've said before now concerning discipleship, or this concerning matthew raising disciples, is that the disciple, or the one who is the apprentice, is enrolled into a citadel of learning where he acquires skills in a specific discipline. He acquires skills in a specific discipline. So therefore, take note of the following. In discipleship, which is matitude, what is, when I say discipleship, is the matitude to raise disciples. What is learned is specific. What is learned is specific. The same way the gathering is specific. What is learned is specific. The institution or the gathering is specific. The same way we can say Christianity is not an institution or a gathering of vast knowledge. Do you understand me? The same way we can say Christianity is not an institution or a gathering of vast knowledge. Rather, it is of specific knowledge. Knowledge on what he has commanded. See, teaching them, that is verse 20. See, teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. So, the knowledge acquired in Christianity is not vast knowledge. Amen. Amen. So, it's not vast knowledge. It's specific knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. That word "command" is the word entelo. In the Greek, entelo,
It implies to instruct, to educate, or to charge. To instruct, to educate, or to charge. If the old Roman Empire, when that word entelomai or entelo is used, it's used for how a commander dishes out orders. How a commander dishes out orders. Now, more or less, it's not the orders that is being looked out for specifically, but the fact that, or the act of dishing out the order. Do you understand? That act of dishing out the order. So, the word entelo means to instruct. Hallelujah. To instruct. To educate. So, in context here, what it implies is that what it implies, what is being taught. Do you understand? What is being taught. You find that word in Matthew 4:6. Implies what is being taught. Matthew 4:6. Matthew 17:9, 19:7. Matthew 4:6, 17:9, 19:7. Mark 10:3. Mark 11:6, 13:34. Luke 4:10. John 8:5. John 14:31. John 15:14. John 15:17. Acts 1:2. Acts 13:47. Hebrews 2:20. Hebrews 11:22. I take it one more time. Matthew 4:6. Matthew 17:9. Matthew 19:7, Mark 10:3, 11:6, Mark 13:34, Luke 4:10, John 8:5, John 14:31, John 15:14, John 15:17, Acts 1:2, Acts 13:47, Hebrews 9:20, Hebrews 11:22. So, what we are to teach is specific. To teaching them what I've commanded you. So it's specific on what Jesus taught. Did you see that? So what we are to teach is specific on what Jesus taught. And we said the word teach carries the weight of what, of how what is being taught is taught. Right? It's presented rather. How it is being presented. The how. Which is the didache. Right? Right? Hallelujah. So, we rounded up by saying there are skills. So, or put it this way, in discipleship, what we learn is how scriptures are taught also. How scriptures are explained. We learn that. And we say that becomes a skill in what? In explaining scriptures. And then we looked at it. We looked at what that skills entails. One, we say it entails the fact that scriptures concludes on Christ, right? Right? Which we say concluding on Christ is ambiguous, but let's leave it at that for today. Hallelujah. It concludes on Christ. Jesus will say the things concerning me. Hallelujah. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, you think in them you have eternal life, but these are they which testifies of me. But you will not come to the conclusion concerning me. Hallelujah. For you will not come to me, that you may have life. Hallelujah. Matthew 7:28. Bible says they were astonished. When he was done, it says the people were astonished. The multitude were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught as one having authority, not like one of the scribes. So that means he taught as one that scriptures conclude on. Are you hearing me? Verse 45 of John 9. He says, do not think that I have come to accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, even Moses in whom you trust. He says, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote concerning me. Can we just take a look at that for a while? For he wrote concerning me, John 5:45. So do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Hallelujah. Moses, in whom you trust. So that actually, if you read in context, if you look at verses 22 quickly, look at verse 22. I just want to do a little reading for you. I'm going to read it. He says, "For the Father judges no one, but has commanded, has committed all judgment to the Son." Did you see? He says, "The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." So what is the judgment? That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Did you see that? He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Hallelujah. 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death to life. Did you see what the judgment is? The judgment is when a man doesn't believe. Did you see that? The judgment is death, to be without Christ. I say that. Then he then gets to verse, that will now be, now verse 22, which is, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. He's not talking about on the last day judgment. No, that is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the judgment with the gospel. Hallelujah. Which he explained in verse 24 and verse 25. Hallelujah. He said, "Do not think I've come to accuse you." But I thought he just says he has committed all judgment to the Son. He said, "There's one who accuses you." He said, "Even Moses in whom you trust." So what is he writing? He says, see, you are not coming to the conclusion of me. But he now reminds them that, see, Moses has passed judgment on unbelief. Did you see that? Moses has passed judgment on unbelief. So if you read Moses, you will see that Moses wrote concerning the judgment of unbelief. Hallelujah. As I said before, you life and death, that is the judgment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says life and death are in the power of the tongue. That is in the Proverbs. But you know, Moses writes about it. Moses writes about it in Genesis. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. That is the judgment. So when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened? He was sent out of where? He was sent out of the Garden of Eden. Did you see that? What is that? What does the Garden of Eden represent? That is an imagery for God's presence. Are you following that? Are you following me? Glory to God. So he left God's presence. That is the judgment. So Moses is telling, Jesus is saying Moses wrote concerning the word, the danger of unbelief. Look at Cain and Abel. That is, you find it there. Look at Jacob and Esau. You find the word, the judgment for unbelief. So, what Jesus is pointing the attention to is that it has been written by Moses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, therefore, he then portrays verse 40. You are not willing to come to me that you may have life. When you are not coming to the conclusion of scripture concerning him. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, we are looking at the schemes. So, he says, another thing is that you read everything together from the Genesis, right? From the Genesis, Luke 24:25, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, beginning at Moses. Hallelujah. So, we also said you have to be restricted to the boundaries of the epistles, right? Right? You have to be restricted to the boundaries of the epistles, because what we have as the epistles will be Jesus' teaching notes. Was that what we said? That the epistles will be Jesus' teaching notes. Would that be all I've commanded you? That would be all I've commanded you. Are you following me? That will be the all I have commanded you. Will be the epistles. So will that contain also the four gospels? Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All I've commanded you. Now, that will be Jesus' teaching note of the Old Testament books, right? That will be Jesus' teaching note of the Old Testament book. That is, I must recognize the epistles as the boundaries to my study of scriptures. I must recognize the epistles as the boundaries to my study of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Quickly, let's rush there. 1 Corinthians 3:10. It says, according to the grace which was given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. You see that? Paul says, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each take heed on how it deals on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 12. He said, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. So, Paul tells us, that he is a master builder. That is verse 10. Why is master builder? And what does he do? I have laid architecton. Say, I have laid the foundation. We look at that word foundation, temelios, right? They have laid the foundation. So we saw the role of their pieces, right? And I must be restricted to what has been laid. They will build thereon. So our role is to build upon that foundation. Hallelujah. Not to have our own appetite for new rhema or new revelation. No. The revelation that we have should be a revelation of the epistles. Hallelujah. Remember we said revelation is what is available to the spirit, right? Made known to the mind, right? Right? Whatever we say, revelation is to educate the mind with the information available in the spirit. So what are the information available in the spirit? That is what you have as the Bible. I was reading one of my teaching notes, one of my message notes, a couple of hours before now, by Pastor Sherwood. He said something, and I took notice. He said, when someone gives you a book that contains him, that is about him, that means the person wants you to know all about him, right? Right? And that shows that that person is not mysterious. So God is not mysterious. All information about him is made available in the Bible. Glory to God. So you must restrict yourself to that boundary, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, my teaching of scriptures will come from me reading well the scriptures, or that what we said, in details, and explain the Old Testament book through the explanations in the epistles. Was that what we said? That I must be able to explain the Old Testament book, Genesis to Malachi, from the explanations of the epistles. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. That's how I must explain the Old Testament books. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. He says, study. Open your Bible. He says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. So, he says, study to show thyself approved. He says, a worker who needs not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. So, when he says, rightly dividing the words of truth, it will be verse 2. Remember the word ototomio legon aletia. We say it's a careful cut through scriptures, right? Careful cut through scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, right? Well, today Genesis to Revelation for us. Hallelujah. It's much more easier. So now that careful cut means to carefully explain, carefully present it in such a way that it cannot be annulled. So, when he says, rightly dividing the words of truth, for Timothy, that would be, if you have a collaborative study, not reading out of context, you read from chapter 1 into chapter 2, you would discover that in chapter 2, verse 2, he commanded him and said, the things you've learned from me, he said, commit the same to faithful men. You see that? Hallelujah. Commit the same to faithful men. That word we looked at that word to commit the same is the word that means to give it the same way I've given it to you. Right? Now, which carries in it the form of explanation also. Now, he says this. So when he says, so you have to read chapter 2, verse 2. Oh, that's the second thing. What he says, the things you've learned from the same coming to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Did you see that? Now, he now says in verses 15, and then tells him, he says, be diligent to present thyself approved by God. He says, a worker that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Without rightly dividing the words of truth, there will be what? Chapter 2, verse 2. So that means you will have to stay with the explanation of Paul. Are you following me? Was that what we said last week? That was what we said last week, right? You have to stay with that explanation of Paul in chapter 3, just reading down. It says, shun profane and idling babbling. That is verse 16. On that 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, it says, shun profane and idling babbling, for they will increase into more and more ungodliness. Now, how will he do that? How he presents the scriptures, right? Now, look at chapter 3, verse 10. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. 15, and from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. So when he uses that word, you have known the Holy Scriptures, what was he saying? What will be Timothy's knowledge of the scriptures will be what? What he has learned from Paul. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, quickly, I must read well. That means I must read well and present it well. I must read well and present it well. Read what well? I must read the epistles well. Hallelujah. So we said that the way I will read the Old Testament book will be to read it from the epistles. Was that what we said? Right? We said, and that is how we are looking at our study into the Old Testament from as of now. We are reading. So I will now start doing a reading backwards. Did you see that? What am I doing? I'm reading backwards. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You understand? So I will have to read backwards from the epistles into the Old Testament books. Are you following that? I'll have to read backwards. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I'll read backwards from the epistles and read it into the Old Testament books. So, in reading backwards, I must not follow. In reading backwards, I must learn to stay within the boundaries of the what? Of the epistles, which are the Old Testament explained. Hallelujah. So, not following the epistles, or not following the explanation of the epistles, or having your own self-explanation contrary to that of the apostles, who are the foundational apostles, is called what? False doctrine. Was that what we said? What? Was that what we said? We said because the foundational apostles laid for us the foundation of the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. So to follow my own explanation, to try to move a bit, to try to, we said an addition, right? That the Antichrist is not just a person. It's not a person, but a message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said it's a very, and sometimes it will be very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. That you will not be able to, you have to be taught well so that you're able to discern it. And now that is why, as a believer, you must stay under the teaching of your pastor well enough. Hallelujah. Because when scriptures are taught you well, your discernment will be sharper. Hallelujah. When you are taught well, your discernment will be sharper. Glory to God. I will say the poison is never served alone. Nobody will give you water piaki and you drink. But it can be, it is served with your best meal. Right? Hallelujah. So I like that guy, the word God. And he's just giving you poison inside. Ta ta ta. Hallelujah. It's just a mixture. Sometimes it's an addition. An addition, just like the guy in scripture that says the resurrection is past. Hymenaeus and Philetus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Then the resurrection is past. He said he overthrew the word, the faith of men. That is just an addition. So you know, the resurrection is God. We are new creation. We are born out of the resurrection. Oh, we are not in the resurrection anymore. The resurrection gave birth to us. What's Yahweh? It's just an addition. Right? You've added. Nobody told you the resurrection is past. Glory to God. Glory to God. We live in His resurrection. Are you following that? Just a little addition. Are you following me? Just a little addition. If I will get to see one more today, you know, just a little. Just a little poison as an icing. And you just take it off. You say it's a word, man. It's a word, but you have passed the poison. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. There are a whole lot of them like that. Glory to God. So, you get to see that. And it is termed false doctrine, right? Or the doctrine of men and of the and doctrines of devils. It's called doctrines of devils. Take note, the apostles' explanation of scriptures will carry Christ's mode of explaining the Old Testament books. Will carry Christ's mode of explaining the Old Testament book. And we are not to draw our own conclusion. We are not to draw our own conclusion, but we will do what? We will explain it with their explanation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, but you have to read right. You have to read right. That is anagnosko, right? To read it well. Amen. Yet another misconception that some have drawn from the four Gospels, and this is totally not what Jesus is talking about. We'll look at it shortly now, and then that is how we'll get into our teaching fully. Luke 6. Let's get through to Luke 6, 38. Luke 6, 38, it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good men shall press down, shaking together, and rolling over with men put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What can you say? With the same measure that ye met with them shall be measured back to you. Hallelujah. You know, when I get to this scripture anytime, what comes to my head is Sunday school. Hallelujah. Sunday school. You remember the song when you want to collect offering? Give, it shall be given unto you. Good men are shaking together and running over. Give. And then, so we are giving because it shall be given back to us. We collect it back for our Father. Hallelujah. He shall be given unto you. Good men are shaking together. I run in over. He shall be given unto you. And people will give you money. But was that what Jesus is talking about? Hallelujah. Some people read it out of context and say they are giving money because they want to receive money from God. That's just what everybody, or most people, think about that scripture. And you know, we have to deal with this misconception first. As we move into, you know, After our, was it our last teaching? Or which on giving? Somebody said, what about last teaching? I said, give, it shall be given unto you. Look at it now, how they laugh their life. No, you don't understand that. Hallelujah. And trust me, I didn't get ahead to explain, because listen to that one. I'll tell you, understand that one first. Understand what I've written, what I've said there first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The question is this what Jesus taught? Is this what Jesus taught concerning money? First of all, in context, when it says give and giving, yeah, you know, we use two words, give, it shall be given, give, it shall be given. Right? He was making reference to men. He says, shall men give to your bosom? So, first of all, rule it out, is not God. Shall who give? Men give. So, rule it out, it's not God, it's who? It's man. Are you following that? Now, let's look at that word give and giving. It's from the Greek word didomi in the Greek. Didomi. D-I-D-O-M-I. It's a word that implies to bestow, to grant, to give. To deliver up or to commit, to bestow, to grant, to give, to deliver up or to commit. That definition was gotten from Pastor Shegun from his book Tithing Yesterday, Today and Forever, page 20. Hallelujah. So it means to bestow, to grant, to give, to deliver up or to commit. Now, that word deals more with the attitude of the giver than the gift itself. That word deals with the attitude of the giver than the gift itself. We'll see that next week. It deals with the attitude of the giver than the gift itself. Hallelujah. So he said, give shall be given unto you. How? He says, good measure. Now, let's look at that word good. That word good is the word kalos. Kalos. K-A-L-O-S, kalos. It implies what is proper. What is proper? What is beautiful? It's also used for what is valuable or virtuous. What is valuable or virtuous? What is valuable virtues? And all the time it is used for an adjective to qualify a noun. It's a modifier. It modifies a noun. So it says, good measure. Measure is the word metron. Metron. That word metron, you'll find in Matthew 7, 2. Matthew 7, verse 2. Those are a few texts you'll find in Matthew 7. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. You find it in chapter 23, verse 32. Mark 4:24. That word measure implies a limited portion. A limited portion. And it's used 11 times in New Testament Greek. A limited portion. Another one is good measure. Press down. Piezo. P-I-E-Z-O. Piezo. Piezo. It's used only once in the entire Old Testament Greek. Only once. It implies something like pack down. Do you understand? To pack down. Press down. Running over is the word yupa. Etchukno. Yupa. Etchukno. H-U-P-E-R-E-K-C-H-U-N-O. Hupachuno, Hupachuno, from a compound of Hupa, which implies over. Over or beyond, something like that. Over, beyond. Now the word, and another word, ekcheo, E-K-C-H-E-O, which means to pour out, to spill out, to run speedily. To pour out, to spill, or to run speedily. So therefore, we can say the word yupa echukmu implies to have an overflow. Implies to have an overflow. Hallelujah. It implies to have an overflow. So, are you following this? So, another word to look at again
is we have another word again, measure,
and the word metron
there, right? With the same measure. And the word metron,
limited portion. Right? Okay?
Now, another word to look at is the word
met without, from the word metrio. Metrio, M-E-T-R-E-O. Is a variant of the word metron. It implies to allot or to estimate. To estimate. So you say with the same measure you met without, which is you allot. It says it shall be measured back to you. Now that measured back to you is another slant of the word that means anti-metro. It implies to, like, you are giving back. Do you understand? So, it's telling you the same way you're giving, the same way you're giving back. Hallelujah. So, in all these things, well, is there money mentioned? Is there money mentioned? So, how come we got money out of this? Is everything that Jesus wasn't teaching money yet? So, let's read in context to see what Jesus is actually teaching about. Look at verses 36. He said, therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. You see that? He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use or that you met without, it will be measured back to you. Did you see that? So what is it teaching here? In context, Jesus is teaching about judgment, forgiveness, and mercy amongst men. He was teaching about, Jesus was teaching about forgiveness, judgment amongst men. He's talking about the reward system of men. And it's saying it from the law of Moses. A reward system of men from Moses' law. I believe it from Moses' law. A reward system. When you read the same account, which is Matthew 7, I said, is that the same account? Yeah, the same. Yeah, the same account but from a different synoptic writer, which is Matthew 7, the same scenario. You know, we said Jesus started teaching from where? Jesus started teaching from Matthew 5, right? Into 7. So let's look at Matthew 7. So Jesus was teaching them about what they had obtainable under the law of Moses. So if I am to read this, I will have to read from Matthew 5. You hear? But let's look at it. So if you read in context, we'll see some things now. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 7:1. Say, judge not, that you should not be that you will not be judged. Can you see that? Is that the same with Luke chapter 6 verses 30? That should be 37, right? Luke 6 37. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, judge not, that you not be judged. Say, for with what judgment you have judged, you will be judged. Did you say, give it, shall be given to you? Eh? And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Good measure, praise and shame, shall men give back. So you see, what he's teaching about is about judgment. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? He's teaching about judgment. And that is the reward system amongst men. I can do to you to the degree that you've done to me. That is what Moses taught them. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Are you following me? That is man's reward system. We're going to look at that. Why did we know? We'll get this now. We'll see why Moses gave them that law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in Moses, you know, Moses wrote about two laws. Have I taught us on the laws of Moses? Have I taught on the laws of Moses? Alright. Which teaching? Which way did I teach about it? But I've thought about it somehow. No. That one is recent. Thought about it. Maybe understand the gospel? One of these long teachings. I'm sure Revelation of God is not the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's wait and see. Hallelujah. Okay. Why he mentioned law of Moses? Okay, that is, I've thought about it a bit. Why he said, you will know the law of sin and death, and the law of, life in Christ Jesus. I said, one way to differentiate it, as at then when I thought of, was on the fact that the law of sin and death, you will require man's effort, right? Was that what I said? That's what I said. You see man's efforts. You will do this, you do that. So there's a lot of ceremony. Okay, I've not really dealt with that. We'll deal with that a bit. I'll revert to the revelation of God a bit. But maybe not this series, maybe subsequent series. I'm looking at it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking at the critical. Glory to God. Because I know we still look at understanding the gospel, the power of the gospel, right? The power of God, understanding the gospel, the power of God, yeah. The power of God. Listen to that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's look at some things in context. You will see that Jesus was differentiating for them how God gave to how man's reward system taught them to give. No, man's reward system taught them to give so that they can receive back rewards within for judgment and mercy. Do you understand? And you can only give based on what that person has done to you. Right? Not money. Right? Hallelujah. We're not teaching money here. Glory to God. So let's look at Matthew 5. Let's just go back in context. Verse 38. It says, and you heard, it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Did you see? It's a long reading. No? Are you ready? You've heard, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. For I tell you, do not resist an evil. I tell you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to the other. Turn the other to him also. He has told you, but he has told them. He read Moses and he says, but I say to you. Did you see? If anybody slaps you on one cheek, turn another cheek. Right? Now, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go in a mile, go him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Jesus contradicting Moses, no? Hallelujah. When we get to discuss Moses, we see this. Hallelujah. This wasn't contradicting Moses at any bit at all. Hallelujah. But he was telling you, he is explaining the arrival point of Moses. This is Moses' arrival point. You get to see that shortly. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. But if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Did you see that? That is the reward system of the world. He loves those who love you. So remember, I showed us something one time where having a teaching on walking salvation, right? I showed us that when he says love your enemies, we went back and we saw who the enemies are. Right? Their enemies was another, the nation that hated them, they hated. The nations that love them, they love. That is the reward system in the world. Hallelujah. Verse 47. He says, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? You know, even the tax collector do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Look at chapter 6 of Luke, where we were before. We want to read the same thing. Chapter 6, verse 27. I need to see something. But I said to you, who here? Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Is that what we read? Yeah. To them who strikes you on one cheek, offer them the other also. And from him who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from he who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, and credit is to you, what credit is to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners do good to sin. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. You see that? But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Did you see that? Mark that. We'll get to that next week. Hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of your Father, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. You see that? Now, quickly, what Jesus just did now was to point to them what is obtainable to them, which is man's reward system. Well, I have in my notes instituted by the law of Moses. I would rather use in a couple of years, which better explain, I would say, I would rather prefer it is not instituted by Moses, but actually, how should I put it? Not instituted by Moses, because it was a reward system there that they had in the world. But actually, I would say better. Just got a better word for it, man. You give me a better word for it. Hallelujah. I would say, I don't want to use the word watered down, but I would say, let me use the word. It's still there by Moses. But in years to come, I will now show you that it was not actually instituted by Moses, but Moses actually allowed them. So I rather use allowed by Moses. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So you know, the reward system they had in the world, Moses didn't actually institute it. Moses just allowed them. Allow them and actually reduce the degree of it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So that's why when you get to teach Moses a bit,
we'll see it well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they had it. Man's reward system that was regulated for them by Moses' law. That would be better put. Regulated for them by Moses' law. And that would be the Deuteronomy, right? You find it in Deuteronomy 19:29, where it said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Deuteronomy 19:29. So why wouldn't Deuteronomy, why would it do truth? Why would Moses write Deuteronomy and tell them an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? Was Moses instituting something new? Moses just regulated what they had in the world. But what they had in the world was an eye for a light. Are you following me? What they had in the world as at then was an eye for a whole light. So, but Moses' law now regulated it for them. Hallelujah. They had eye for an eye. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Why would Moses tell them an eye for? Why would Moses teach payback? Jesus will say, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, because of unbelief, suffered you, allowed you. Did you see that? So that would be unbelief. Moses was writing out the state of their mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father Shepard will call that God's long suffering, God accommodating nature, God accommodating that practice, but was not God's perfect practice for them. Hallelujah. So remember, what you have in there are the background will be what? 40 years of unbelief, right? 40 years of provocation. Are you following me? So Moses will write that to them. Hallelujah. So Moses, so this will be Moses' counter narrative for what they had obtainable in their world. Amen. Moses' counter narrative for what they had obtainable in their world. Their world as at then, the Mesopotamia area, era, was a world of the Brutals. Hallelujah. Or okay, better for Brutus. That is what Brutus was, a brutal world. Hallelujah. Where for stealing someone's what belongs to someone, you are killed. That is judgment. You die. Glory to God. But what did Moses do? Moses now watered it down with the law. And that was because of their unbelief. So Moses was giving them a counter narrative for what they had in the world. So not speaking to God perfectly, but it was permissible. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Glory to God. But we'll look at that in coming years. But for today, we'll stick to where we are. So instituted by Moses' law. Right? It will help me better say what I want to say. Father. Glory to God. This is led by what? Moses' law. Amen. Are you following me? Okay. Glory to God. You're looking at me. That's the truth. So, what Jesus did was to show them what they had obtainable in Moses' law. Right? Which of the Moses' law? Law of sin and death. So when you hear Moses' law, the question was which of the Moses wrote two laws? The law of life in the spirit, or the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death. Moses wrote these two laws. So when you hear Moses' law, ask which of them? Right? So we know what one is talking about, the law of sin and death. Right? Right? So, Jesus taught, showed them what is obtainable in man's reward system, and he also showed them or taught them God's character given to man. How that God holds no grudges. He blesses both the thankful and the unthankful, both the unthankful and the evil, the good and the evil, telling them that they should be like their heavenly father. Remember, they can't be like their heavenly father as a dead, but Jesus will speak in her holy tense. Right? He will speak of the future as though it's happening now. Hallelujah. As their heavenly father. He's not yet the heavenly father. He will tell them, forgive just as your heavenly father forgives you. But Jesus knows until the resurrection, God was never their father. But he was speaking ahead of time. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He was speaking ahead of time. He was saying the future as though it has happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he teaches them God's nature. And you find out. So in telling them they should be like their heavenly father, he had to differentiate for them in Matthew 5. But verses, what we read? Verses 38. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Then he tells them, be like your heavenly father. Hallelujah. If someone slaps you by one cheek, turn the other cheek. Don't repay evil for it. That is God's nature. He says, give, not expecting anything in return. Therefore, Jesus in context was not teaching money and receiving money from God. No. Jesus in context was teaching God's character in the man who believes. You see that? He was teaching God's character in the man who believes and made contrast with the law of Moses of sin and death. God in giving does not give partially. That's what Jesus taught. God doesn't give partially. God doesn't give partially. James 1:5. James 1:5. He says, if you lack wisdom, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives what liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. God gives without reproach. Hallelujah. Ultimately, this to say he upbraided not, which implies God doesn't defame. God does not find fault in giving. God doesn't say, you did not give in church last week, therefore I will not give you. No, therefore I will punish you. No. God will not say because you sacked a Christian brother in your office, therefore I will come at you. No. If a believer is involved in such kind of prayer, he are just praying into the ceiling. They are saying nonsense. You say God operates now. You say he makes the rain to fall on the good and on the bad. That is God. Do you understand? Hallelujah. You must understand their language of that day. That was the science of their day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, you must see that critical. So the believer begins to say, oh God, kill my enemy, kill the guy that made me to lose my job. Tomorrow that guy will not be born again, speaking about the gospel, winning more souls. Think God will not let you make him lose his job. You see, one of the most funniest things I've heard was one day I was listening to a preacher who was on phone, who was on the TV. Then I took it strong heartedly. But today, if I look back, I say, that was poison served in the way. He said, if God wants to deal with an unbeliever, he will put the unbeliever in contrast with the believer. Then God, that is when you know that your cup is full. You just keep doing what you are doing. When God wants to deal with that evil man, he will make the evil man challenge you. Whosoever that shall come upon this scripture, and whosoever it shall tread upon shall be granted into fall. That is not God. Hallelujah. We must understand that balance, that this is who God is. Hallelujah. This is who God is. See, if God wants to deal with you, he will bring you against a child of God. So you have to tell an unbeliever, do you know who you've touched? You've touched the apple of his eyes. God is going to deal with you. No. An example is Paul. Paul dealt with believers. Stephen died. But Paul preached the gospel. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Paul preached the gospel.
No one wants to say,
God suffered bad. God dealt with him. You look at how he suffered when he goes to calm down. Peter didn't suffer too. When you read well, Peter didn't suffer too. But he only Paul that suffered. He didn't love Peter. What did Peter do? So calm down and change your sense. Hallelujah. Change it where? Glory to God. Or what did Silas do? Or James? Or John?
Okay. Sure,
I know. Is that
very simple? Glory to God.
You have to understand the fact that God operates not. Somebody was not listening to a great preacher. Listen to what the person did. He just said, God forgives even the worst of sinners. Even the man that does you evil. If he gets born again after he's not doing evil, God will forgive him. Ah! He thinks God into this person's head. This person is a firebrand, in quotes, firebrand preacher. And I say, ah! Because there's an escape route for my enemy. Therefore, my prayer is not for my enemy to be forgiven, for my enemy to die. Now, I listen to her, she says she has the anointing to kill her enemy. Anointing to kill. I love that kind of anointing, you know. So, you have an anointing. He talked to a minister that she invited and said, you know, you are a grace preacher. You preach the grace of God. That is your anointing. So my anointing is that any of our enemies in this church would die. And you need to see the way all the church was just shouting, carrying chairs up. Such kind of people. It's better, like Nehemiah will say, it's better their brain is taken off. And something bigger or better than coconut water is put in their head. Sure. Hey, don't be. Our pastor is not a great preacher. I'm not a preacher of law. I'm not a man of preacher of law. I'm a man. Calm down. I'm in law. I don't know why you're laughing. Hallelujah. No. No. Calm down. Be calm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be calm. Be calm. Even the worst of sinners can be saved. The worst of sinners can be saved and become the one that will teach nations you are unable to get through. So why are you so? Whenever you turn and you are praying, the other day we were to have a vigil years back, and then they said they should pray. I really don't engage. Today I wouldn't do that, but those days I wouldn't engage in such kind of prayer. I don't at all. I all through the night, my brother was praying. All the prayer I need prayed all through the night was, and die by fire now. Die by fire now. Oh, now speak one tongue and plenty die by fire. Oh, brother, brother, brother. Oh, die by fire now. Die by fire now. Die by fire now. Die by fire now. The whole house. Lord, you know. Every enemy from our father's side, from our mother's side, facing our destiny, facing our life. Can you just pray for revelation knowledge, please? Hallelujah. Pray to God. That is not the nature of God. That is not God's nature. Remember, you know, never I said, it's a sweet sermon. You know what I mean by sweet? It's ah, sir. So somebody has said one day, somebody has told me one day, sir, this man teaches like you, teaches the word like you. Ah, he knows the word. He knows. Just call one of our pastors then. He said, go and listen. Just let me know about. Because I have to know what to see. Any of our pastors by the school. I'm always careful of who you listen to. You must, part time. Except you are living with the person in the secret place of your heart or in the secret place of someone. Once I get to see, I probe. They need to come and ask. I'll probe. I sent some of the pastors, go and listen to other people. Who is this pastor? Who does he listen to? You know, I had because one of our pastors is listening to this pastor. So I got information. I said, why are you listening to this? Sir, he listens to this. I said, okay. The most times people listen to people and they get, I warned us last week, don't get carried away by who? All the tree. All the tree. People get carried away by all the tree. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Oh. Yeah, looking at Matthew 16, verse 17. You know, the Greek word, you know, when you want to hear the Greek word, is not actually, you know, the word here in the Greek actually is, you know, when you now put it in context, and now look at it from the context. Now, that alone, people think this one is worth it. No, listen to. So, the pastor asked to go and get me details. Didn't go and get details after I'm no. Suddenly I'm listening while and then. Now, did a lot of inquiries and he came back and he took me. Most of the details I can't say to you there. And I called her, I said, he said, doesn't really sound like this is anything which he would teach, he has the same doctrine, and he teaches. I said, okay. And I'm pointed out, what is his doctrine on giving? What is his doctrine on this? I've never taught you that. I don't think I can ever teach you that. So, how is it? There was every other thing is the same. No, I think it's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. It cannot be the same. Very important. So you guide your heart. See, some people listen to ministers and they don't even know. I was telling somebody that listened to a minister, maybe I said, what is the doctrine of this pastor? In fact, it doesn't even know what the doctrine of who I've been listening to for years. I don't know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And yes, I say, sister, you are sent to this place for the work of ministry. Continue the work of ministry. Messages we have online is enough for you. Listen to them and move ahead. Simple. Do you know that? Simple. Stop on this issue from the mass. Hallelujah. There are some pastors that I will call today that the minister, but you know, when I begin to tell this is different, you'll be amazed. Yes, you'll be amazed. Though it's not, I'm not criticizing, but for leaders, you must follow your pastor soon. If you leave Nigeria, your pastor's message must be in your ears 24/7. Timothy was not close to Paul, but Timothy continued. Stop looking for new things. If my voice has tired you, die listening to it. I will not change it. Shut up, sir. Die here. You see, when you begin to get boring, that is when you know you are growing. It shows you have left the excitement stage. And when you cannot handle it when it's boring, worrying to you, my backsliding. You don't know. You are backsliding. It shows you have passed the excitement stage. So, Tibo, I'm telling you. Every time I'll be listening to message, I'll be telling you, oh! There are some times listen to message, and my eyes, and I say, oh boy, I'm not yet to be here. Yes, now. But then I'm listening to message, I'm like, yeah. As in, there is temptation to do everything that table, no, my hands on my feet. Yeah! Because that is the training. When we get to get going, you're not saying, let me just do that rather than saw what you used to go for. Now it's time to listen to somebody, you're listening to 5 messages at the stretch. Now you don't listen to me, the top 30 minutes, top 30 minutes. I'm going to backslide here. You have backslided. You have backslided. You have somersaulted backwards. Come back before we get to find you. You know, and that becomes very sensitive for believers. You know, if you know you are backsliding and you are hiding it to yourself, you are not only of the help backsliding. You get to a point where you are backslided too. You know, all you are doing before was you are just making up appearances. You know, when your tongue now starts to from 1 hour you cannot play 1 hour again. It's not 10 minutes. 10 minutes, oh, it's going to be the you see, you have not recognized it. I'm backsliding and I need help. I have keeping up appearances. A pastor will know me. A time will come, you don't even to control it. You are tired, yeah. You begin to run to Rema. Run to Apodexis. You know what I mean? Run to Legon. Run to Aletia. Run to Toto. Run to Dain. You'll be running here and there looking for what? What you need is not what. So at some point, you know they call when you play me your dama. And you see that echo. Echo made you. Hello, you know you're the same for you. Bamba. Did you say? Hello, you see for you. You have Wakago. You have gone like Barcelona. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm saying this. So when you see that you're not keeping up with prayer times, study times, you're having a drop in it, quickly be smart. Join up with brethren that are on fire. Change your cleats immediately. Most of the reason for people easily giving in to frivolity is because of who you are listening to, those you have around you. So quickly change. Quickly start going to your pastor's list. Quickly start going to your elder brother's list. Quickly start charging yourself. Quickly start going to, you know, sir, when are you praying? I'm praying in the morning. What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing tongues too. Yeah, are you following? I'm trying to do, you know, you are not giving, you just take a tongues throw. From base to Maryland and turn back. It's a turn stroll, 2 hours. You're not doing anything, just turn stroll. Take it from Maryland. You are paying on you. No room for backsliding here at all. Hallelujah. You're fired for evangelism. You should go fired for evangelism. You're not feeling phobia. But you're going to pray. Go out and evangelize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in here 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. We are still perfect and hot. Hallelujah. You know the problem, we see, the problem many people have is keeping on staying with the basics. The basics does not change, even if you're 1,000 years old as a Christian. The basic does not change. What is the basic? Tongues, study, devotion. Don't miss it. Every other thing is added. You know, every other thing is not added. You know, tongues. And when I mean tongues, you pray in tongues, you have devotion, you evangelize, you know, just keep up with those simple basics. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Keep up with those simple basics. How did I get it? I'm not teaching devotion. Hallelujah. Just keep up with those simple basics. Amen. It's not difficult though, just keep up with them. And if it comes stroke that you just used to stroke from your house to here there and come back. Now you are the angel of his presence. You now sit down on your bed. Oh babu bo shan da 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 de 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 ya baba. Very soon, it's your disciple that will be discipling you. Are you ready? There is no master general. Demotion is allowed.
You know what I mean?
There's no permanent one-star general.
Kill. Glory to God.
Just take out that time to pray for him. Take out that time to tone.
Hallelujah.
Just go around. Just move down to show the underbridge. Turn back. Just in tongues. Just in tongues. Just in tongues. Just in tongues. Nothing there, just in tongues.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Just tongue it. Not tongue now. When you get to the number 9 or 15 naira goes back. Tongue God through. Tongue God through. All through. Your leg is about to remove. You are saying tongue the man's over there. That's a pain. That's a pain. Just pray. Be busy. Stay sitting and studying. You used to study 1 hour. Now to study 10 minutes, you can't catch it. You know, those things you know you're no longer feeling effectively. Now tell yourself, I'll do it. Be deliberate. Spiritual growth is deliberate. So you become deliberate about it. I'm teaching, giving, and receiving, but this is where I am. But this is where we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are deliberate. Deliberately studying.
Glory to God. No backsliding here. I expect you to say that, no backsliding here. Hallelujah. For whatever. For whatever. Preaching and teaching Jesus alone. Alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So in conclusion. In conclusion,
I don't know why you got to devotion, but let's just conclude.
In conclusion, the text Luke 6:38 is not a proof text for giving to receive. It's not a proof text for neither giving to receive, nor a measure of God's giving.
No, don't say either God gives in measures. No. Not it's not for the measure of how God gives or for giving and receiving money. Rather, God is a liberal giver without conditions or fault finding. God is kind to both the good and the evil. Hallelujah. As this opposes man's theology, God gives. Glory to God. God gives to all. Hallelujah. So we'll continue from here next week as we further explore on the teaching on giving and receiving. Hallelujah.